If everything is removed from your life today, everything, it's gone. When will Jesus be enough? Will you be willing to say this, that even if none go with me, I'm still following Jesus? He's not looking for church attenders. Jesus is looking for disciples. And there's a big difference. We need people like what's going on in China right now, that they're under heavy persecution. They're flourishing. They're growing by the thousands. People are coming to the cross of Jesus Christ daily. They're giving up everything for the cause of the gospel to go forth. We can no longer afford in America to say, Jesus, you're just an option on the buffet. We need to be like China, where Jesus, you are the buffet. We got to serve him. We got to be that bondservant. In the New Testament, Paul would use that word doulos, that willing slave, that willingly says, man, I want to submit to you. I want to serve you. This is no longer a tug of war, Jesus, where, you know, I want to do this and I want to go here. Here's my wish list and here's my life and I'm going to use it for my glory and my praise. No, he wants people to say, oh, my life is now no longer my own. Use it. I might have shared this with you before. If I did, act like you never heard it before. But they did a survey years ago, and the survey was simply this: what do you fear most at the end of your life? And the number one answer was this: having lived a life, having made no significant difference. Number one answer. You know how you make no significant difference in life? I've learned this. Live for yourself. Just serve yourself. Be selfish. You just be self-focused on everything you do, and you will get to the end of your life and wonder why no one's at your bedside. And then those people who I've seen lay everything on the altar, they literally cannot get all the people in the church house at their celebration of life service. The line is so long because they gave their life away at missionary sacrifice.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. We're super pumped about today's program because we know the Word of God is going to go forth with boldness, and therefore we confidently know that the Word of God will not return void. Oh, my prayer even right now as I'm talking is that as the Word of God does go forth, that He will be high and lifted up, and as He is high and lifted up, oh, I pray that you will be greatly encouraged and strengthened no matter where you are. You know, so many people that I talk with are going through difficult, deep trials. And when we are in trials, the temptation is to make decisions that are not God-honoring. We need wisdom. And where we get wisdom is from God's Word. I was thinking about the book of Proverbs today and just thinking about the deep wisdom that's in God's Word. His Word tells us this, that the horse is prepared for battle, but deliverance is from the Lord. Over and over, we can recite the book of Proverbs because as it is deep into the wellspring of our soul, it changes our heart. It changes our mind, and it changes the decisions that we make to no longer be fleshly decisions, but true God-honoring decisions. Here's your challenge. Read a Proverbs a day for the rest of your life. On the 15th day of the month, read Proverbs 15. On the 20th day of the month, read Proverbs 20, and so on and so forth. Do this day after day, week after week, month after month, and I can guarantee you, your heart will be radically changed. And when your heart is radically changed, guess what happens to your family around you, the church people around you, the teammates at work that are around you? I believe the impact you will have because the light that shines within you will be greatly seen, and God will be glorified as people around you see the hope that resides within you. And so I pray today as we open God's Word together, then let's turn right now to Joshua chapter 24, looking at verse 14, as we listen to the second part of the message entitled, Fall One Way or the Other. Secondly, it says this, to do what? To serve him in sincerity and in truth. That word serve is just simply this, to be a bondservant of, to be, I love this, to be fully yielded and surrendered to. Let me ask you this question. I know you're here at church, and that's a good thing, by the way. It's a great thing. But you know what I've learned in my own brokenness and as I travel and preach is this, that you can be in church on a Sunday morning and not be surrendered to Jesus. I mean, it's possible, trust me. Like, it's really possible. Let me ask you a question. Not that you're in church today, thanks for being here, but are you surrendered to Jesus? If everything is removed from your life today, everything, it's gone. Will Jesus be enough? Will you be willing to say this, that even if none go with me, I'm still following Jesus? He's not looking for church attenders. Jesus is looking for disciples. And there's a big difference. We need people like what's going on in China right now, that they're under heavy persecution. They're flourishing. They're growing by the thousands. People are coming to the cross of Jesus Christ daily. They're giving up everything for the cause of the gospel to go forth. We can no longer afford in America to say, Jesus, you're just an option on the buffet. We need to be like China, where Jesus, you are the buffet. We've got to serve him. We've got to be that bondservant. In the New Testament, Paul would use that word doulos, that willing slave, that willingly says, man, I want to submit to you. I want to serve you. This is no longer a tug of war, Jesus, where, you know, I want to do this and I want to go here and here's my wish list and here's my life and I'm going to use it for my glory and my praise. No, he wants people to say, oh, my life is now no longer my own. Use it. I might have shared this with you before. If I did, act like you never heard it before. But they did a survey years ago, and the survey was simply this: what do you fear most at the end of your life? And the number one answer was this: having lived a life, having made no significant difference. Number one answer. You know how you make no significant difference in life? I've learned this. Live for yourself. Live for yourself. Just serve yourself, be selfish, you just be self-focused on everything you do, and you will get to the end of your life and wonder why no one's at your bedside. And then those people who I've seen lay everything on the altar, they literally cannot get all the people in the church house at their celebration of life service. The line is so long. Because they gave their life away in missionary sacrifice. Are you serving him in sincerity, a pure heart, right motives? Boy, it's easy to go serve Jesus, but then have wrong motives, isn't it? Man, I'm going to go serve, but I hope they applaud me, and I hope they say great things, and I want to get my name out there. No. This is all about Jesus, all about his glory, his praise, the fear, the holy on reverence of our great God. I was meditating on that and kind of marinating on that as well. And I made this note. This is my key number three I wrote down. I put, God demands my full allegiance and service to him. This is not an option. He's demanding it. Not for my salvation, from it. We know that we've been saved by grace. Amen? Amen? Like, if you had a second hallelujah in you, that would have been the time to let that one go. You know what I mean? Man, we've been saved by grace. There is not one of us that can stand up here and go, you know what? I'm pretty righteous and I've gotten to heaven on my own. Yeah, good luck. Tell me how that one works out. No, it's all by the grace of God. But here's the deal. When we've truly been saved, we know this, that the old man is dead, right? The old woman. Like, if you're a man here today, and if you're a woman, and by the way, just a real side note, sidebar, he created them male and female. Amen? No question marks. You know what I mean? I mean, trust me on this. God hasn't changed his mind. Oops, screwed this thing up. No, I know what I did, okay? So here's the deal. There's an old man and an old woman. If you're really here today, well, I guess technically you're really here because you're here. But if you are here today and you really are a believer of Jesus Christ, truly, you will be able to see a dead body in the distance that used to be you. And you don't even recognize them anymore. Who is that man? Who is that woman? I've been made alive to Christ. Therefore, what do? Our lives are no longer our own. We've been bought with the most precious blood that's ever been shed. Therefore, what do? We now give our lives away till He calls us home to glory and glorification. See, we serve Him in sincerity, right motives. I made this note as well, key number 4. I put churches are filled with people who claim to serve God, but they really serve themselves. And I see this everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Philippians tells us this great, great admonition. Paul writes to the church in Philippi there. He says this in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. This is God incarnate, who, by the way, sinless, never sinned. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what the books are saying. Here's the deal. I know from my Bible, which is the truth, Jesus never sinned, but he put on flesh. He put on this flesh as he came to earth. And here's the deal. And being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself. Here's the model. Jesus did it. He humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, in light of what was just said, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every, listen closely, church family, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's awesome, isn't it? It's good stuff. I'm telling you. Jesus is your answer. Jesus is always your answer. He's your answer. We all do this to some degree in all of our lives. We look everywhere but Jesus for the answer. What will dull my pain and fill my void today is what we ask ourselves, don't we? We ask it all the time. What will dull my pain and fill my void? What will take the edge off? And that's where we drive over those cliffs, don't we? Jesus, listen closely. Jesus is the answer to your problems today. But he's even more than the answer to your problems. He's the answer to your sin problem. Amen. Do you understand this? That there's sin. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. And because of that, apart from the perfect, imputing, atoning work of Jesus Christ, that substitutionary atonement where he goes, I'm going to take your place. I'm going to die the death that you should die. Here's the deal. I'm wicked in my flesh. I'm a wicked, sinful man apart from Jesus Christ. I alluded to this earlier, but I bring nothing to the table. The only thing I bring to the table when I stand in front of Jesus is my sin. Here it is. Here's my shame. Here's my guilt. Here's my baggage. Here's my pain. And here's what he does. He goes, hey, bring it to me, and I'm going to wash you as though now you are white as snow. I'm going to take your sin and remove it as far as the east is to the west, and you will bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is now well with your soul. Amen. But here's the deal. There's sin, and because there's sin, if that work of Jesus Christ, if the finished person and work of Jesus Christ is not in your life, here's the deal. There's sin, there's condemnation, and there's judgment. Yeah. Have you ever thought about this? In order for there to be really, really good news, there has to be something that's bad news on the front end. The bad news is this, that man, I'm condemned to hell. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that you can be set free forever today. People say, well, why do you do what you do? Why are you so passionate about what you do? I'll tell you this, one guy said it like this. The good news is only good news if it gets there on time. Man, my job is I want to get it there on time. How about you? Do you want to get the good news in your sphere of influence on time? Are you serving him today in sincerity and in truth? Truth. Truth.
fidelity, faithfulness, a sound doctrine of the things of God. That's why key number 5 is this. I will fear and serve whatever I believe to be the truth. Let me say this again. This is mission critical in our culture today. There is a heresy going around in the American church today. It's called progressive Christianity. And let me just really quick here, just put this baby to bed, okay? God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, okay? I'm going to make sure we're very clear on this. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, He doesn't have to evolve. He doesn't have to progress. Again, He's not getting things wrong here. And okay, I need my eraser out and make sure I fix this. No, nothing progresses with what God is. He is immutable. He is unchangeable. Progressive Christianity is simply men and women walking in darkness that are rebelling against the truth of God's Word, and they're trying to rewrite God's Word.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
So here's the deal. I will fear and I will serve whatever I believe to be the truth. Herein lies the problem. God's word is not the truth because I believe it. Listen to this very closely. God's word is not the truth because I believe it. God's not looking at me today going, okay, I'm waiting for John to believe this so this can be the truth. No, God's word is the truth because it's of God, period. Whether I believe it or not is immaterial. Now, I need to believe it. I want to believe it. I do believe it. But God's word is not true because so-and-so in your sphere of influence believes it. God's word is true because God's word is true. Did anyone ever play that game, Jenga? You know that Jenga game? Raise your hand. Everyone play Jenga? A couple of us here? A couple of us? Five people are saved. Wow, okay, all right, okay. Only 5 of us are saved. Okay, that's all right. We'll pray hard for the rest of you guys. But great game. I mean, you got these puzzle pieces, and you're building this Tower of Babel, basically, right? And there it goes. And what happens is, boy, you pull out that center piece many times, that bottom piece near the bottom, and what happens, you that have played this game? Boy, the tower comes crashing down. That's Satan today, I'm telling you right now. And he's always looking for the one piece of the puzzle labeled the truth of God's word. Well, if I could just pull that piece out in the home, if I could just pull it out in the business world, if I can just pull it out in the church world, I know that this whole thing is going to come crashing down. See, do you understand this? That's why we got to choose this day, church family. We need some men and women today. Where are the men and women of God that will rise up and say, you know what, I'm going to count it all as loss. And I'm going to be determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I love these closing verses here. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord, there it is again, and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you. 1 Samuel 12:24. Psalm 25:5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Oh, on you I wait all the day. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him. And all God's people shouted. That's an amen moment, isn't it? To all who call upon Him in truth. You see this? We could go on and on. I could stand here all afternoon and tell you about God's truth from God's word. That's how important His truth is. And then lastly, He simply says this, put away the gods which your fathers served. Put away. This is mission critical as we bring all this to a conclusion here today. Put away. Now this is very intriguing. Please hear me on this.
When you study this and unpack this, this does not mean that you take your little g gods, whatever your little g god is today, whatever idol. And by the way, do you understand this? That idols, like when you think about idols, does anyone else like have like a picture in your mind right now when you picture an idol? Like, can I be transparent? Like, I picture like we're off in Africa and there's a hut, you know, and there's some like little statue we're all looking at. You understand this? That Satan masquerades as a cosmopolitan of light. Idols aren't necessarily something that looks demonic. Idols can look very, very appealing, and they can even appear to be of God. That's the point. Jesus said, you got to hate everything in comparison to me. Everything. Your family. He's saying, hate your family? Well, in comparison, in comparative speaking, nothing. You shall have no other gods before me. In the Hebrew, the word no means no. And yet, what do we do? What do I do? I got Jesus up here, and I got my toy box, don't I, of idols. And here Joshua, Sermon on the Mount, so to speak, as he's preaching powerfully in Joshua 24, he's coming to the conclusion of this verse, and he's saying this, put away all those gods. By the way, all those gods that your dads served on the other side of the river. This generational thing, put it away. But he's not saying take those idols and just set them on the corner of your desk. He's not saying, hey, you know, set them on the floor next to you. No, what he's saying is this, literally, when you study this, this putting away simply means this, that I'm putting them away in such a fashion that I'm rejecting never to return to them again. So here's your deal. Whatever idols of my life today, man, decimate those things. Man, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're hurting, you go, wait a minute, you don't understand, man, I'm enslaved to this, I'm addicted to this, I get this, I understand this, but I understand something more powerful, that Jesus Christ, as He conquered sin, and He conquered the grave, and He conquered death, I know He can conquer your addiction today. Yeah. Put them away. Reject them. Decimate them. Take them down a few miles right over here by the port of Tampa. Take them down to the city incinerator and burn them. Because I know this in my own life. If I put them somewhere where I can get a hold of them, in a moment of weakness during that day, I will pick them up and begin to pet them again. You know where I am again, don't you? I'm back on this never-ending cul-de-sac, going nowhere, wondering where God is in the midst of my pain. You got to put them away. You got to reject them. There's that old phrase that you can lead the horse to water, but you can't force him to drink, right? I've learned in my own brokenness and my own sin and ministry is this, that if I want it more than they do, they will never want it. But here's the great news, when they begin to want it, and they begin to be consumed with God's word, His glory, His grace, the fear, the holy awe and reverence. I have seen lives go from shambles to glory. I have seen new people come on the scene. And you're like, where did you come from? They're like, aliens invade and like steal you? What happened? Who are you? No, it's the great God of the Bible. The old man is gone and the new man is here. Amen? Amen. You have hope. You have hope. And His name is Jesus. That's why Exodus 23, I alluded to it, simply says this, you shall have no other gods before me. Luke 14, 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. We must hunger. Listen, church family, we must hunger, we must crave, we must desire that our families love Jesus more than they love us. If you're a mom and dad in the room today, the greatest compliment you can receive is that your children love Jesus more than they love you. Where are you at today? What is God speaking to your heart this morning? Have you chosen this day whom you will serve? As we leave here in just a moment, is there a definitive line in your heart that says, I'm in for Jesus regardless of the cost? The thought occurred to me in conclusion that since our flesh does not crave the things of God, therefore, if we arrive at that conclusion in our flesh, that is even something good, it's not of God. Don't be one of those, and I hear it all the time, my heart's leading me to do this. Oh, please hear me. My heart is sinful and wicked. Who can know it? Don't listen to your heart. Listen to the voice of truth. And God will take you where He wants to take you. And where He guides, He provides. And where He leads, He feeds. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your goodness, for Your glory, for Your grace, for Your mercy. Thank You that we could be here today to just dive deep into the wellspring of Your truth. I pray that our hearts have been refreshed. I pray that our hearts have just been enraptured with You and nothing else today. No matter what we're facing, whatever's looming on our horizon today, Father, I pray that we would just focus on You. Oh, Lord, I ask, would You give us a spirit of fear, of a holy awe and reverence, that we would serve You, that we would die to self, that we would be that man, be that woman that says, man, I don't know how long I'm going to be here on this earth, but I know this. I'm going to break the tape for Jesus. And sincerity with pure motives and truth, fidelity of the truth of God's Word. We will not bend, buckle, nor break. And we'll put away those gods. We'll reject them, decimate them, and we will focus not on the little g gods, but the one big G God, the great God of the Bible. Oh, Father, we give You praise. We give You glory for what You're doing today. And I pray that You bless the remaining of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.